Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. It's a delight to be with you today. We're so thankful you've taken the time to tune our way. We're going to be talking about this matter of boldness, and we're going to start in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, and we're going to look at some of the principles for boldness in our witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I trust you'll stay with us for this next half hour. We'll have a couple of good quality songs that'll hopefully lift up your spirits. And then we'll be looking at the Word of God, which will give us direction, understanding. If you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, I beg of you today, dear friend, call upon Him whom to know aright is life eternal. We'll talk about that in our program here today. But we'd love to hear that you've come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Again, our Father, we can only say thank you for the privilege of knowing you and then having your word that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of thee and then be able to share that with others. Lord, there's some folk listening who need a touch from thee today. They need encouragement, strength, edification. And I just pray that you'll be with them, that you'll feel that loneliness or whatever they would be going through. Then there are those who need to be saved, and I pray that they'll come to know thee whom to know right is life eternal. Those who are saved and those who are not really going through any valleys right now, bless abundantly, encourage their hearts, and help them to keep on keeping on for thee. We're going to praise thee for what you accomplish, because we've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Living by faith.
Living by faith.
Living by faith.
Living by faith
in Jesus alone. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if sunshine or shadow or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain.
Tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife.
Yes, I am living by faith.
Yes, living by faith.
In Jesus alone.
In Jesus alone.
Trusting, confiding
in His great love, yes, in His great love.
From all harm safe
in His sheltering arms, His sheltering arms.
I'm living by faith,
living by faith, and I feel no alarm, feel no alarm.
Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore.
Living by faith.
Yes, living by faith.
In Jesus alone.
In Jesus alone.
Trusting, confiding.
Trusting, confiding in His great love. Yes, in His great love.
From all harm safe.
From all harm safe in His sheltering arms. His sheltering arms.
I'm living by faith.
Feel no alarm. I'm from all harm safe. In His sheltering arms, His sheltering arms.
Living by faith.
Living by faith.
Living by faith.
Living by faith.
Living by faith. In Jesus
alone. Amen. Living by faith. That's what we need to do, dear friend, that we need to live by faith, trusting the Lord to do exceeding abundantly above all we would ask or think. Your Bible's open to the book of Acts in chapter 4, and we're going to look at two verses here in chapter 4, and that'll set the stage for what we want to talk about, the path of action for boldness. And we'll look at some things that produce boldness in our witnessing for the Lord. Now, I want to say this, and I was thinking of saying it a little bit later on, but I'm going to say it right here in the outset. When we're talking about boldness, it's not going out and flexing our verbal or our physical muscles. It's not going out and letting people think how tough we are. No, it is that we have the character of God to stand when it's not popular, when we're willing to stand and be counted for Jesus Christ. That's the account you have right here in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John have gone into the temple. This lame man was outside the temple. And they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such we have give we unto thee. Name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." He rose up straightway and stood. Then he jumped and leaped and ran into the temple praising the Lord. Well, that shocked everybody because you're supposed to be quiet and, you know, very sedate when you're in that temple. At least they thought so. This guy was excited because God had healed him. Well, then they, the Sadducees and then, of course, the priests and that, they were very much offended. And they put Peter and John in hold and held them there to talk to them the next morning. So overnight, I got a feeling they were doing probably the same thing that Paul and Silas did in Acts 16. I think they were singing and praising the Lord. I don't think they were down in the mouth. They were just rejoicing and telling other people in the prison how they could be saved. That would be a wonderful thing, and I'm sure they did that. But anyway, when the council brings Peter and John before them, Peter, it says in verse 8, was filled with the Holy Ghost and said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you that and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is a stone, that is Jesus Christ, which was set at naught of you builders, which was become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now that was Peter's sermon. Now notice what the reaction of these high priests and probably some Sadducees in there with them, but they were very much disgusted to what had taken place. Now they hear this sermon, and when they saw, that is those people that they talked to, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, meaning they hadn't gone to the rabbinical schools, they hadn't gone to college, they marveled. And then notice this, and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, when he saw the boldness of Peter and John, that they were not afraid to declare the truth of God's word, even in the midst of that what could have been, you know, I mean, you're with this crowd of religious nuts who would wants to stamp out Christianity or stamp out any mention of Christ. And so the normal guy might have kowtowed to them, not Peter and John. They said, "This is a fact. This is what's going on." Well, then you come to verse 29, they're released. In verse 23, they go to their own company. They go probably to John Mark's mother's house. Acts 12, we have that account where Peter goes there when he was left out of prison. And so it may have been there. I don't know. They went anyhow, went to the company of believers. And verse 29 says, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings." That is the council there. "And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." And then he says, "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, signs, wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, it wasn't tongues, it was boldness. They had the character of God upon them, and they were willing to declare the word of God, and they did this with all boldness. Now, let's look at a couple of things I want you to see here with this matter of boldness. We talk about it a lot. Boldness really is a full trust in the Lord, a full trust in the Lord. Go back with me to Proverbs chapter 3. You're familiar with these verses, but we're just going to turn back there anyway. Proverbs in chapter 3, and look with me at this matter of where we develop a full trust in the Lord. That is for his wisdom, for his strength, for his ability to help us go through a situation, whatever it is. Now, notice what he says in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. But go back to verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In other words, if you and I want boldness to be able to go out here and witness, and it's not easy to do that. It is not easy, especially with our families. You know, you want to witness to them. And I remember, boy, I'll tell you, right after I got saved, and especially a couple of months, and I really got concerned. I said, well, you know what? There's some members of my family. I'm not sure that they're saved. I mean, my personal family, I knew my dad and mom and my brother, his wife were, but wasn't sure about my sister. And then she had made a profession of faith. So then I asked my oldest brother. And I remember he said, yeah, he had trusted the Lord and so forth. And we talked about that. And then I still wasn't sure because he, due to some situations there within his home life, his wife and so forth, there was not a consistency at all for the Lord. So I'll never forget here he passed away just about 9 months ago, but I had a chance to talk to him again, and God gave him clearness of mind, although he wasn't clear in his mind in a lot of the time, but this for these few moments he was clear in his mind, and I asked him about his faith in Jesus Christ, if he really knew the Lord. He looked at me as sincere as could be with his son there and our other brother, and he said, yes, I know the Lord, I know where I'm going. He was going to heaven. And you know, what a blessed thing that was. But here's the thing. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. To witness to people is not an easy task. I don't know why we can be forward in doing so many things. But what we're seeing here is that this is how we can have a boldness to serve the Lord. You see, the Lord told Joshua over in chapter 1 of Joshua, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Gain his strength to lead this people of Israel. You've got to have God's strength to face the enemy and win. And so Joshua is needing to draw upon the Lord. Now, there's a second thing that you do if we're going to be faithful in trusting. That's full trust in the Lord that he is going to work the situation out. Sometimes, you know, we sit there, we say, yep, I'm trusting the Lord. And then we plan out the entire structure of what we're going to do. No, let him do that work. Yes, I know we have to do some things on our own, but we do it with the direction of the Lord. But we need to pray and sincerely pray that God would get the glory out of whatever we're endeavoring to do, and to have the courage to stand. You know, there's things that come back by our pathway that oftentimes, how do we continue to stand for this or that? Well, we need to put confidence in the Lord. If this is a way he's leading, you know, as the scripture says, this is the way, walk ye in it. If he's leading this way, go ahead. Don't worry about what's out ahead. You may have pitfalls out in front, but he'll guide you around them. For the word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. See, it's from his word. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, we read in verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. So we have a trust in the Lord, a complete trust in his wisdom, his guidance, his direction. The second thing is trust in his faithfulness. I would draw your attention to 1 Timothy. Go back to 1 Timothy, if you will, please. And we'll see a truth here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 13. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I use that as a thing, as a matter of trusting in God's faithfulness in whatever endeavor we do. Now, this is a matter of as being a deacon, but whatever God has called us to do, He wants us just to put our complete confidence in Him, in the boldness of His word, in the boldness of His faithfulness to us. And that's what he's saying here to Timothy. Paul is saying, Timothy, this is what God wants you to do. Well, we'll continue on after we hear this song. We're going to look at, again, a trust in God's word. With me. It's been a long time since I've heard that song. What a blessed song that is, too, because that's what we're talking about, this boldness as we go out and face this world with the gospel of Christ. It's not a friendly world toward the gospel, and we have the opportunity of sharing Christ with men and women, boys and girls. A verse of scripture I'd like to share with you before we move on another thought here in matter of the trust that we follow the word of God. I want you to notice something. You know, I said we trust in God's faithfulness. And I think a great verse of scripture that really lends to that is found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. And this is what it says. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he goes on to say then, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have occupied and have been occupied therein. So very simply, he says, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means as I read the word of God, as I study the word of God, and I see how God worked. Now, he may not work in the same way because there's different circumstances here. But as God was faithful to his people back yonder, he will be the same today. It will not change, and it will not change throughout all eternity. You see, beloved, you know, as for example, you know, back in the olden days, there you rode a horse, a camel, a donkey, a ox, whatever it was. Today we have automobiles and people drive like they're on oxen and all that kind of thing sometimes. But nonetheless, you know, that's modern. In bygone days, you had to carry a message around. Today you hit the computer and send an email or go over the internet, all different kind of means and ways to get through. We have the cell phones and all those kind of things. So there are different means, but the same direction, and we need to realize that first we have the full trust in God. Lean not to our own understanding, but unto God's understanding. Then secondly, we need to have a trust in God's faithfulness, the Lord's faithfulness. Just believe that He's going to be faithful. He will be faithful to me. Thirdly, then, in seeing how we can have this boldness. Now, it's not something we conjure up. It's something that we're trusting for. We're trusting the Lord for it. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 19, and we're looking at the trust in God's word. You know, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "Therefore faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Here in verse 19, it says, let's go back to verse 18. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." Again, it's another council meeting. they never learned, you know, they never learned that these guys are going to keep on preaching the word. But look at verse 19. "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." You see, Peter and John said, hey, here's where we've got to stand. We're standing upon the Word of God. And so we're going to trust the Word of God. You know, let me just give you a couple, about five things. And you can jot these down. I don't have time to go to them and turn there, but I'll give you the scriptures. And just to see, when we're thinking about the Word of God and thinking about standing on God's Word, in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, we read that the fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom. Now, we gain the fear of the Lord. This isn't afraid that He's going to zap us some way. No, it's a reverential respect. We totally respect Him, we believe in Him, and we trust Him. So Proverbs 9:10, that's the beginning of wisdom. Then if you go to chapter 13 and verse 13b, it says, "The fear of the Lord, those that have the fear of the Lord shall be rewarded. They'll be given that which they desire, that which they need." In chapter 19, verse 23, it says that the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. But then you go to Proverbs 14:26, "The fear of the Lord is strong confidence." If I can trust in God, it gives me confidence just to keep right on keeping on. And then in Proverbs 14 and verse 27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life." In other words, it just keeps, as I have that trust in the Lord and that love for the Lord, it builds up a strength in me that I can keep on going for the Lord, not surrender unto the world, the flesh, and the devil, but rather keep strength in the Lord, having done all to stand. Then in Psalms 19, verse 9, and Psalms 19 is a tremendous psalm, talks about the Word of God, but he says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." In other words, as I study the Word of God, it is clean, it is clear, it is crystal, it is true, and I don't have to worry about it changing tomorrow. You know, today we have these things, and right now this is the greatest thing that you can get. I kind of get a chuckle out of some of these commercials on television or radio even, and they give you these commercials, and this is the greatest thing. Just 6 months later, it's going to be something that's better than that. So, you know, can you top this is probably the thing that's going on. Well, beloved, what God wants you and I to see is that there's no improvement to the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We meditate upon the Word of God. We allow that Word to get into our hearts. It will give us a boldness. It'll give us a desire to go forth and challenge this world with the gospel of Christ. The disciples saw that. The disciples believed that. The disciples did that. You know, it's the same thing that you read in the Apostle Paul. I'm not going to go back for his life's account. But when he was there in his missionary journeys, how many times that he went there at Lystra, he was stoned and left for dead. He rises up and he walks right through the city again. That took boldness, number one, and I guarantee you it shocked a lot of people within that city. The point is that these men stood. They took the battle to the world, and then many of them, yes, gave their lives. Paul got his head severed from his shoulders, and we read of many other ways in which these apostles were killed. But in every case, they took a stand for the Lord, and having done all, they stood. And so we need to have a character about us that says, hey, I'm going to trust the Word of God, and I'm going to allow the Word of God to work its work in me. You know, I always go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 to really emphasize the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, now note this, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That the man of God may be thoroughly, that is from head to toe and from fingers to toes, that we are equipped with the Word of God. That's what you get in Ephesians chapter 6. If I'm going to have boldness to stand, I've got to have the armor on. But one of the interesting things, you go to the latter part of that chapter and it says, if they're with all prayer. So, beloved, I want to urge you to get into the Word of God. Understand, God is faithful. He's faithful to His Word. He will honor His Word, and He will honor them that honor Him. If we might be of spiritual help to you, please contact us. You can contact us by email at WOT@WOTBM.org. Or you may write to us at Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602, USA. We'd love to help you in spiritual matters. Our Father, use the Word, stir our hearts, and help us to be faithful unto Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.